My classes were the same way. They would always dismiss before I could get around to it. Harvey.
Put our next slide up there, please.
No, it's not back there. Maybe it is. Can't hardly see it.
We need a new projector back there.
That one's not working.
Eyes.
Finance guy. Always complaining. Next Sunday, Dr. Dean Moyer. His wife's name is Cassandra. Goes by Cass, C-A-S-S, is what is on some of the resume papers and things. Dean is originally from Ohio, and his wife as well is originally from Ohio. They've been in Hilton Head area since December of 2013. Why in the world do they want to leave Hilton Head and come back to Ohio? I'm not quite sure, but they say they do. He met his wife, Cassandra, at Taylor University, where they both attended. They have two sons, Ethan, 25, Wes, 23, both living in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dean received his master's in church music from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, his doctorate in worship studies from the Institute for Worship Studies, Orange Park, Florida. He served in the role of worship pastor for over 30 years at various churches, including First Friends Church in Salem, Ohio, where he was an associate pastor with Randy Heckert, who you're all familiar with, our area superintendent. Dean's ministry objective is to exercise his servant leadership and teaching gifts as a lead pastor. We don't know if he's the one that God has for us, but he's going to come here and preach for us, and we have not met him personally. We've talked with him on the phone. He sounds and looks like would be a good fit for Gilead from all that we know about him at this point. So we're going to explore this further and see where God is leading us, and once you've had an opportunity to hear him, give us your feedback and let us know where we want to know where you're at with all of this process, and see where God takes us in this journey that we've been on for the last almost a year now since Brian told us that he was going to be leaving. So keep it in your prayers throughout this coming week, and be sure and be here and tell anybody else that's not here this morning that they need to be here next Sunday to hear a possible candidate. Well, he is a candidate, but a possible pastor for Gilead Friends. Thank you, and like I say, keep it in your prayers. Rick, come and share what God has laid on your heart for us today.
I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Friendly Persuasion. It's an old movie. But in Friendly Persuasion, the Quakers are at one of their meetings. And this is a traditional Quaker meeting, you know, the facing bench and separate and so forth. And right, you know, in a Quaker silent meeting, people speak as they're led to speak. And during the silence, this young man stands up and he says, "God is love." And he sits down. His older brother gives him an elbow and his dad puts his arm around him, you know, proud of him. God is love. One of our scripture verses for as we get started here, comes out of 1 John 4:16. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to explore this word love a little bit before we get into the disciples' love language. Love. God is love. Love is not a characteristic of God. It is not an attribute of God. God is love. Now, when we Americans look at love, it's kind of an abstract word. It's like saying, what does a banana taste like? I have no idea what a banana tastes like. It tastes like a banana. But how do you describe that taste? How do we describe love? Well, the Greeks have four words that describe love. There's eros, which is not in the Bible. It's erotic. It's marital love and everything that goes with it. Then there is philo, which is the Philadelphia love. Maybe it used to be. Friendship. You know, that's the kind of love Peter was willing to give Jesus in the last chapter of John. Oh, Jesus, I really like you. You're a great friend. Then there's this stergo, which also is not so mentioned in the Bible, which is love in our family, for my children, my grandchildren, my wife. And then there is agape. That love is mentioned in the Bible. Agape love is action. It's all in. Giving all, holding nothing back. You see, because of the Greeks, we now describe love as more of a feeling, a warm fuzzy. And we use the word love pretty carelessly, really. Oswald Chambers says, love is my sovereign preference for another person. But how many of you out there will say that you love pizza? Pomegranates? Oh, maybe not so much. I love the Ohio State Buckeyes. Well, if you're from Michigan, you don't. See, that's all a feeling. Kind of warm, fuzzy things. But real love is an action. Love is defined by what it does, not by how it makes you feel. So what does it mean, this word love? And how is it, how is God is love? Well, if we go back to the earliest Hebrew, I mean way back to when they used pictographs as language, there are three pictographs that are used in early Hebrew that come down, and the Hebrew word is of ahav, A-H-A-V, ahav. And it's based on three pictographs. And so here's what it means. The three. So behold, the Father's strength, provision, and protection is my dwelling place. So behold, the Father's strength, provision, and protection is my dwelling place. That is love. Emmanuel, we have mistranslated the word Emmanuel. It means God pitched his tent among us. Now, in Hebrew and Middle Eastern society, if I were a stranger and a tent owner invited me into his tent, honor dictated that I would be placed under his protection, his provision. If anyone would come in to harm me, honor dictated that he had to protect me. That is the idea we're getting here. God's love is an action, and we are invited into his tent. We place ourselves, it's our choice, we place ourselves in his tent, the family together, under his protection, under his provision, under his love. No hold back. Nothing held back from us. Everything that he has in that tent is ours. What is our response to that love? Well, Jesus gives us an idea. In John 14, down in verse 23, it says, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him." Our tent with him. So our response back is that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We need to come to an understanding. When we speak of the Torah, that is a Hebrew word for teaching and instructions. We've turned it into the law, but that's not what it is. The Torah is God's teachings and instructions to us. Our love toward him is our obedience to those teachings and instructions. And God has two sides to this love. All love will have two sides to it. There is God's love, but there is also God's discipline. There is a restraining side of love. God sets up these teachings and instructions in his scripture because he has our best interest in mind. That is the restraining side. He says, here are some parameters, here are some boundaries. Please don't go outside of them. I love you. Please don't. Now, I have a granddaughter, and I don't let her drive my car. Yet, that may come. I restrain her from driving because of her, for her own good, to protect her. You know, I cannot remember a single time that my father paddled me. It's just not there. But my mother, I have no doubt that my mother loves me. But when I was very young, we were over, Dad was converted. My father was converted in a little white church in Cardington. Cardington Church of the Nazarene. Today, the building I think is closed and had been used for something else, but he was up praying, and I decided to get active. I was running the aisles, and that was not because of the Holy Spirit. I was just running. And Mom said, as God, you know, God says, you know, please don't do that. Well, I didn't do that. I kept running. And really, this is the only spanking I can remember from my mom, and I had to be under five because we didn't leave. Dad was called to the ministry there in that church, and we went out to college, and I turned five out there. So this is an early memory. So she gently, sort of, took me by the hand and down into the basement. And we had a meeting of the minds. Except that her hand met something else of mine. And I haven't run the aisles since. So there's two sides of love. There's the side that embraces and holds and instructs the actions of love. But even there's also the restraining side of love that God has in our lives. Now, we have various ways to show our love, and I think a doctor by the name of Gary Chapman speaks of these as the five love languages. And the five love languages, if you've never heard of them, are something that we need to be familiar with. And I want you, if you can write this down, or at least remember this. Our love languages are gifts of the Spirit. Equip us for ministry and to bear fruit. Our love language or languages and our gifts of the Spirit equip us for ministry and to bear fruit. We speak these love languages. God has equipped us with these love languages. And they are words of affirmation, receiving and giving gifts, quality time, acts of service, and physical touch. We speak those five love languages first to God. Words of affirmation we've done today. We do it when we sing. We do it when we praise God. We do it when we worship God. We give God words of affirmation. Receiving and giving gifts. Well, those are, that sort of falls in Phil's realm. Our tithes, our offerings, our gratitude. Quality time. Prayer. Scripture study. Celebration like this on Sundays. Life groups that are coming up. Acts of service. Ministries for God to others. Physical touch. Well, how in the world, now that's a tough one. How in the world do you physically touch God? Well, forgiveness, mercy, support for others in times of need, and reaching out. Five love languages. We are to speak all five, but in point of fact, we probably have a primary love language with a maybe a little secondary one. But we are to speak all five. We learn how to speak all five. But one is primary and one is secondary. We need to learn what our primary and secondary love languages are because of the way they shape how we minister. The gift of the Spirit and these love languages go together and impact the way we minister to others. Now, first of all, we direct them toward God. But second, my primary love language and my secondary love language will be directed toward others. And I need to learn the primary love language of those most important in my life. I need to, for me, you know, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. My closest neighbor sits right there. That's my wife. I need to know her love language and speak it fluently. It stops a lot of crises. I need to know the love languages of my children and speak it fluently. And my grandchildren, I need to learn yours and to speak it fluently. You need to learn, and I as well, all the people that we are around, those that we work with, our colleagues, We need to learn their love languages and speak it to them. Just to give you an example, real quick. And I told this to my Sunday school class, but I'll repeat it to you real quick. I set up a new hive of bees. And when I looked in them last, the queen was there walking on the frames in her magnificence. When I checked Friday with Lily, she wasn't there. I had no idea where she went. I didn't panic much. Well, yesterday, Luann and I went to the far ends of the earth looking for a queen. We drove to Danville. That's the far ends of the earth. The way we went. And when we got there, I thought it was the far ends of the earth. But they had a queen and I brought it home. But her going with me, I'm still pumped up today. Even though she's the one that discovered I was going the wrong way. And she got out a map and said, if you keep going this way, you're going to go to Belleville. So I got my phone out. I got a brand new phone. I got this phone out and I said, Siri, I need directions to Belleville. And Siri said, well, you stupid idiot. Well, no, she didn't say that. She gave me the right path to Belleville. But I tell you, if some of you would have been along, and if you are anywhere seasick, you would have been. Those roads are just crazy. And the road that this, well, Harvey knows where it is. Man. So I'm tanked up because of that sharing. Now I want to look a little specifically at these love languages, because I want you to learn yours if you don't know it. And I want you to learn your spouse's if you don't know it. I want you to learn your children's if you don't know it. I want us to learn each other's. Because I think by speaking each other's love languages in this body, in our community, together, we'll avoid a lot of crises. By speaking these love languages to all the people around us, we will lift up Christ as a part of our ministry. So here's the first one. Words of affirmation. They go along. See if I can find it here. They go along with 1 Corinthians 13. You know this pretty well, I think, right? And now I will show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. Oh, we got a lot of people should learn that outside of this body. I won't mention any. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. My wife says I still do. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation are verbal compliments, words of appreciation, encouraging words to inspire courage in others. Love is kind. Kind words. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Saying positive things about our spouses, our children, our friends, our family, our co-workers, our church, our school, even when they cannot hear us. There are people walking around us every day who are walking wounded. To be honest with you, I stand before you today as one of the walking wounded. Wounded by the circumstances of life. By speaking words of affirmation to them, to me, we bring healing. And we help to bring healing. Now, there is a tone and an inflection that I want you to beware of. Be mindful. Because I did this once by accident and didn't realize it. One of my students had asked me 5 or 6 times the same question. She was working at a computer. When I knelt down to help her, being of advanced knee age, then my knees cracked and I went, oh. And she started crying because she thought I was fed up with having to come and answer her question one more time. I hate to make students cry. So, when we say these words of affirmation, they need to be words of affirmation because we can turn the tone. When I say I love you, I can turn that tone to sarcasm. So we need to be mindful of these words of affirmation. Now, words of affirmation may not be your primary love language. It may be a secondary love language or another love language, but let me tell you this. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your spouses, they need our blessing. If we don't give our children and grandchildren our blessing, we will leave them deeply wounded for a long time. And it's not difficult. I'm proud of you. I can remember my dad sending me a letter saying, I've never dishonored the family name. At least, not that he knows. Transparency only goes so far. If there's one thing that you take away from this little chat that we're having this morning, today, sometime today, bless your children. Bless your spouse. I am very proud of my daughter, my son, what she has come through, what she has borne, what I have watched. You can't fathom my pride, but I'll tell you this, I am so proud of you people. For what you've endured without a pastor, and for what you have become. My pride for you is unbounded. And I'll be honest with you, my primary love language is not words of affirmation. But I want to affirm you today. I am very proud of you. I'm proud to be associated with you. I'm proud to call myself part of the family here at Gilead. Forgive me. Receiving and giving gifts. This is my son's primary love language. Yeah. We call him Willie Wonnet. And love's not supposed to be self-seeking. Receiving and giving gifts, it's two parts. When you receive gifts, it fills your love tank up. Now, a gift is anything you can hold in your hand. It's an expression of love. It doesn't matter how much of it, what the cost is, so much as the thought that goes behind it. They see that you have done this, and it fills them up. It's an investment. It's a gift of person, a gift of presence, of being there, of visitations. As a matter of fact, home shut-ins, visiting in the hospitals. This is something we need to spread about us, this giving and receiving of gifts. We need to take that upon ourselves, and we do that as a congregation. All these visits, it's a part of our ministry. But Richard, he has a great, you know, this is his thing. He bought something yesterday that goes on his television, and we were able to Skype back and forth. And our picture is just on my little iPad, but his picture of us was on the screen. It was great, except that Braden got tired and wanted to see Willy Wonka. And he went and touched the camera, and everything went. And I haven't heard back from Richard if it works yet. But that, you know, some people's love language is getting and receiving gifts. Quality time. Wow. Love is patient, and it does not boast. Quality time. Our undivided attention and our focus on another person. Togetherness. Quality conversation and sharing of experiences, thoughts, goals, challenges, desires in a friendly, relaxed atmosphere. Sounds like life groups. Often, we don't have a hearing problem. We have a listening problem. And I find myself, because quality time is my wife's primary love language. So, I get so tickled when we go out to eat and I look across at the table next to me and they're both got their iPhones out talking. I don't get that. How in the world can you have a quality conversation texting each other? Or texting someone else while you're supposed to be out talking? So, and this is difficult for me because quality time is not my primary love language. But agape love is sacrificial love. So we have to learn the primary love language of our spouse and speak it well. Which means that I'm not necessarily stuck looking at that computer discussing things with my students when someone wants to talk to me, especially if it's my wife. So you have to go and sit in the chair and go and maintain eye contact with one another. I mean, that's imperative. You have to maintain eye contact with each other. You know what Lily will do? But you don't know how that fills somebody's love tank up. To sit and pay attention to someone. Walking wounded all around us. There are people that you are going to meet this week that are going to need your quality time and this. When someone comes, especially to a man, and starts to talk, my first thought is, how am I going to fix it? And once I start thinking how I'm going to fix it, the quality conversation's gone. So men, let somebody else fix it. At least for a while. Let somebody else fix it. Put the fixed thought away. And there's another thing we do during quality times and quality conversation. We start thinking of our response. Harvey comes up to me and says, I lost a queen. I said, good. I need to, what's coming next? Rather than the coming up, don't finish each other's sentences. Let it get it out. You see, this is all part of ministry. It's all ministry. Ministering to one another. When you come here today and celebrate with us, it doesn't end here. You have a ministry to carry out. Now, I know you minister. We minister together here at church. But once you leave the confines of this celebration, you're going to bump into all kinds of people. And some of them are going to need your words of affirmation or some type of gift, or they're going to need you to listen. Acts of service. Love is not proud. Jesus washed his disciples' feet in an act of service. It's a simple expression of love. Simple service, doing, providing, helping, hospitality, fixing things. Those who would be great must learn to serve as to the Lord. Cooking, cleaning, chairs. Look at the service that is provided by the team that sets up these chairs every Sunday. By the way, we need to help them take them down today because they probably want to go be with their mothers. So we all need to help take down. Acts of service is my primary love language. I can't help it. Acts of service helps me to be who I am. Especially in the classroom, serving students, here in the church. The love language of service provided with the gifts of the Holy Spirit that make up my ministry. And when it's spoken to me, it fills my love tank. When I was teaching, leaving the house to teach. And when Lou Ann would get up and fix me breakfast, I'm ready for the day, bring it on. I was always able to leave for school secure in the knowledge of our stable relationship. So I could focus on my profession. Physical touch. Now, for men, up until a certain age, that's probably our secondary love language. Then, it still is. Physical touch, handshakes, shoulder pats, touch on the back. Those are healing. Sometimes you don't have to talk. Tossing children up in the air. What did Jesus say about children? Let them come to me. He brought them up on his lap. Strong hug. Now, I'm not sure which one of these five languages is your primary love language, or even secondary love language, but I would say this. You can tell. What lights your fire? How do you speak love to other people? How you speak love to other people? That's your love language. What makes you feel loved? Acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, giving and receiving gifts. If that fills your love tank, how do you feel love? That's your primary love language. If someone steps all over your effort of service, gifts, quality time, and it deflates you, that's your love language. For example, if my wife fixes me eggs and something happens to them and I am not appreciative of her efforts, I step all over her efforts, I cost her love. You see, we can, by paying attention and being mindful, we can pick up one another's love languages. Especially, and again, they go first toward God. They go first then to our closest neighbors and our family, and then to the people we work with. You're going to run into people tomorrow and throughout the week, I do too, who need us to speak their love language, because the world will not do it. The world will drain them like a hose. And here's the key. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not love when. Not love if. Not love but. Love, period. God did not love me before I became a sinner any more than he loved me after I became a disciple. God did not say, you need to get saved first before I'll love you. You need to obey me first before I'll love you. I love you, but I have these things I want to talk to you about. Love, period. Agape love. Love in God's tent. So as 1 Corinthians 13 says, total, unconditional, committed love, without fear, without hesitation, regardless of the cost, and regardless of the actions of others, unoffendable love. I believe that's what God would like of us. I believe that would go... If we would do that, I believe we would be a people after God's own heart. So, I'm talked out. Let's stand. Before you go, take a plant. Children, round the children up, let them take a plant. I suppose the onions will be left behind. Take a plant, plant it in your garden, plant it in a planter, or give it away, and remind yourself of, Galatians 5:22 and the fruit of the Spirit. And operate under the fruit of the Spirit this week, all week, and all weeks to come. Unconditional love, love period. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his countenance to shine upon you and give you his shalom and protection through this week ahead. And the people of Gilead said, Amen.